It's Andy Parks live from the Washington Times on 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. My next guest is Ted Spock. Ted served in the U.S. Army from 1965 to 1969, where he earned a Purple Heart. He served in Vietnam from December of 66 to February of 1968. Ted joined the Department of Veterans Affairs, where he served as a counselor for more than 10 years. And Ted is also the president of Rolling Thunder, Washington, D.C., Incorporated, and he joins me now. Hi, Ted. How are you?
I'm doing good, thank you.
Hey, you got to be a busy man today.
Yeah, it's kind of like crazy. We're trying to get ready, get our stage ready.
All right, Rolling Thunder comes to Washington for the 25th year. You've dedicated a large portion of your life to the military and veterans in particular, and you've been a part of this for a long time. How did your involvement with Rolling Thunder start?
Well, our first run was in 1988, and in 1987, a guy came to the wall with an idea, Ray Manzo, who I call the founder of Rolling Thunder, came to the wall and talked to a bunch of us who were around and said he wanted to do a run.
When he came to the wall, what happened? He sensed that there was so much talk of POWs and missing in action that he felt he had to do something?
Well, yes, he did. His idea was because all your congressmen and senators and the president, everybody's here, he thought, let's do something and let them know that we're never going to forget our men we left behind.
Were you guys nervous about the perception of a large number of motorcycles coming into town? Because a lot of people look at motorcycles in any kind of large number and they say, oh, my God, here comes a motorcycle gang. You know that some people had to be thinking that, right?
Absolutely. We had to get permits, and we actually had to incorporate, which I actually wrote our I've been in town working on legislation, POW legislation, and I actually wrote our official bylaws, and we had to incorporate in the District of Columbia before he would give us permits.
Now, after you were here the first time, everybody realized that, hey, this isn't a motorcycle gang. This is a bunch of dedicated people, a lot of veterans, a lot of supporters of veterans, coming into town to call attention to some very important things, right?
Yeah, you know, it's pretty interesting. It took more than a year. It took probably at least 3 years before people realized, you know, we weren't a motorcycle gang. You know, we were here for a reason, and we were here to let our government know that we want accountability for our prisoners of wars and missing in action.
Yeah. When you first started, how many people participated?
You'll hear people say there was 2,500 bikes. I don't think we had 1,000 bikes.
Uh-huh. And now today?
Well, last year we had 500,000. We had 1,000,000 people in town.
That's truly amazing. Where do you put them all?
I guess the district in Virginia, they get hooked. There's hotels. Some people come in the morning. He kept the Pentagon parking lot from, you know, 40 miles away that they had to stay.
Yeah, it's very interesting watching it. And I'm amazed at the number of people that actually go into town to do exactly that, to watch the parade of motorcycles.
Exactly. And, you know, we do it for a reason. We do it for the prisoner of war issue. And then as things went on, we do it for our currently support our troops. And we also do it for the veterans. And people come into town, they're focused. They come in and they're focused. They know what we're doing.
Now, you personally have spearheaded the legislative efforts of this organization. I know because I've seen some of that over the years. The Missing Service Personnel Act comes to mind. Was that your first endeavor?
It was my first trip. Well, I can't say it was my first trip, but we dedicated the wall in 82. We set up a booth basically to let people know we left men behind and to help veterans come into the wall for the first time.
All right, now, your approach, though, is somewhat fascinating to a lot of people because you would go to Capitol Hill dressed in a coat and tie and you didn't seem to get anything done. So you changed your approach to take off the coat and tie and put on the motorcycle jacket, and suddenly things started to happen.
I'll tell you, we put the bill, I got my congressman in 1984 to put the Missing Service Persons Bill in. And it was 83 that Command Sergeant Major retired, who served in World War II, Korea, and Vietnam, John Holland, got on our stage that we had set up. Actually, it's right where our stage is now on Constitution Henry Bacon for our event tomorrow. And he got on the stage and he said, you know, he said, I've been doing some research, and the bill for anybody taken prisoner was dated 1941, and the government would declare him dead after a day.
Mm-hmm.
So we sat down, and I said, okay, I'll figure it out. And I wrote down everything that he said. And we took it to my congressman at the time, and their alleged counsel, they put it in the words that, you know,
mm-hmm.
they actually helped. We had a lawyer and me, and we actually got the bill written.
Yeah.
And we put it in. And I left town. And I got a phone call probably a year later from John. He said, I need to talk to you. And he says, you know, we got this bill. We only got 3 or 4 co-sponsors. He said, what do we do? I said, I don't know. So that was my start on Capitol Hill. And I took the bill not knowing anything about Capitol Hill. I took the bill and I went to the House side and I started on the top of the Cannon building and went to every congressman's office and went right through. And when I got done, I went and started again and just pushed the bill. So I got a lot of co-sponsors, but it actually took us 10 years to get the bill passed.
Is that right? Wow.
And the reason being is, you know, I wasn't familiar with, one day somebody said to me, well, you know, you need a Senate bill. I said, I do. I said, all right. So that extended my work. I did get a Senate bill, and I got 2 Republicans and 2 Democrats to co-sponsor, you know, because it's not a political issue, you know.
Yeah, bipartisan approach.
In 94, we got it passed in full. And one of the key parts of the bill was we wanted that person who was missing represented by an attorney. Okay, let an attorney be appointed and let him take care of the family and, you know, look out for the missing.
Yeah.
Well, now we're still wearing a shirt and tie, believe it or not.
Yeah.
And we had a senator, and I won't mention any names, who took our bill and gutted it completely and slid it on the defense authorization back bill and gutted our bill completely.
Huh.
Unbeknownst to me, when I found that out, I had the leather on, jeans on, and a T-shirt, and I went to Capitol Hill, and I said, what am I doing all these years with the shirt and the tie?
Yeah, no kidding.
I got more respect with my Rolling Thunder vest on than ever, and since then I've written, there's 6 bills that I've written and got passed.
Yeah. It really is. It's a great story, and I know you worked very hard. In fact, I sometimes question how you stayed so focused, and your determination was something that was exemplary. All right, now, it led to other pieces of legislation, as you mentioned. The Respect for Americans Fallen Heroes Act is something that I believe really had to happen. And this is the piece of legislation that was designed to keep groups of protesters away from military funerals. And we all remember the one right up the road in Westminster, Maryland. This was dealing with that, I guess, that Westboro Baptist Church.
Absolutely. That's one bill I didn't write, but I supported it.
You know, you guys do great work, and it's great to have you back in town. By the way, have you ever considered running for office yourself? You seem to have a handle on this.
You know, years ago, even before I came to D.C., I had friends tell me, run for Congress, run for Congress. I said, no, I don't think so. I don't want no part of that. You know, I was counseling. I love my job. You know, I didn't.
Yeah.
I just had no desire to run for political office at the time.
All right. So you have a full event schedule for the weekend, right? It gets fired up today, runs right on through Monday. I know there's a wreath laying ceremony at Arlington National on Monday. All types of events. Now, will you be involved in all of these?
We're actually doing a program. Gary Sinise is actually playing on Saturday. We're starting the program at 11 in the morning. An organization, Camo's focus is on music therapy for the veterans. All their entertainers, either veterans or active duty. And we got some of their bands will be playing after Gary Sinise. And I think the big thing that we worked on this year was we had 5 bike builders. We actually had 4 because the Army bike was built, but we had 5 bike builders in the country build a bike, a tribute bike, for each one of the branches of service.
Okay.
And we're unveiling them at our program on Saturday, and our program is right at the corner of Henry Bacon and Constitution, where the future site of the Vietnam Education Center, right across the street from the Vietnam Veterans Memorial.
Now, I know that at WashingtonTimes.com, we have a full program schedule of all the events, folks, so if you need to check that out, it's very easy. There's a special section right on the front page of our website. There's also more information in the print edition of the Washington Times today. I'm curious, Ted, one more thing before I let you run. Where do you guys get the funding for your organization? Do you rely on donations?
You know, we do, especially for the stage. Stage kind of costs us a lot, and we're just taking donations to put on the program we're putting on. It's going to be quite a program, and we're still looking for donations.
Now, will you ride in this event, perhaps lead the way, or?
Absolutely. We'll be right out in front. We'll have our tribute bikes that are going to be riding, probably the only time we're going to ride them, because they're actually going to be on display. We're going to take them to VA hospitals, military bases, all the major bike events, and we're working on funding to do that. We're not charging take them around the country, but we're going to sure have to pay for it some way, you know. Give you an example. We took bikes up to the Armed Forces Retirement Center in D.C., and they absolutely loved us. You know, they come out, and it's nice to see people smile.
Yeah.
Veterans that are either in a hospital or in a retirement home, or and it's nice to see them smile. And as long as we make them happy, that's our goal. And we'd love to get the bikes on an overseas tour, too.
Well, listen, I wish you well. Enjoy your stay here in Washington for this week. Actually, you live here now, don't you?
Yeah, I live in Mount Vernon, but I'm not from here, and you know I'm not crazy about the traffic around D.C. But I, you know, it's, I'm here because I still work the issues.
Yeah.
Get ready to put another bill in, and you know, see what happens.
All right. Well, Ted, have a good weekend. Thank you for coming on today. And folks, get out and check out Rolling Thunder as they come to town here in 2012 on this Memorial Day weekend. You take care.
Okay, Andy. Thank you.
Rolling Thunder President Ted Spock at 527 here at 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT.